I get to give the message today. So, first of all, I want us to think about who we are. We're a family. We're members of a family. So let's think about that, and each one, let's get up and greet each other like we're family. Like we haven't seen each other for a long time. Like we should. I want to open us in prayer, first of all. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you and praise you for opportunity, Lord, another opportunity to come into your house, Lord, to just hear you speak through your servant, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for who you are. Lord, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. Lord, you're simplistic. You're unity. You're infinity. You're eternity. You're immutable. You change not. You're unchangeable. Lord, you're omniscient. You're omnipresent. You're all-knowing, all-powerful. Lord, you are justice. You are loving. You are truth. You are freedom. You are holiness. You are faithful. And you are patient. We just thank you and praise you for who you are, Lord, because you are our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. Now as we listen to this message, Lord, that you've given me, Lord, just open our hearts and our minds to receive what you are giving us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I just thought I might start out to let you know who the guy is that's talking to you. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm just a fired, retired banker. That's all I am. You know, I joke around a lot, you know, but I really prefer to be behind the scenes, quiet, watching everybody else succeed and meet their potential. That's really what I like to do. I'm likely, somebody will correct me, but I'm likely the oldest member of this church. I've been a member for 65 plus years. So I just, you know, that's who I am. I've been in the church leadership for 30 years. I've been an active deacon for 20 years. I am currently the post facto deacon head, although we lead together. And that's what I prefer. But above all, I love the Lord our God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And I love my neighbor as myself, but, you know, I strive to do that, but I'm human. And we all fail, we all stumble, we all fall. So bear with me each time I stumble. And each time I fall. The scripture for today that I want to hang our hat on is 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproach, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's a scripture that we ought to all remember. Just to carry that a little bit further on what that is, what that means, is all scripture is inspired, God breathed. The Bible comes from God through man who wrote it. So each and every book, each and every paragraph, each and every word is co-sponsored by God. We need to remember that. Always remember that. God superintended these human beings so that using their individual personalities, they composed and recorded without error God's word to man. Christ attested to the fact that inspiration extends to every word. In the same verse, Paul quoted Deuteronomy and Luke as scripture. Inspiration does not involve mechanical dictation, but the actual recording of God's word. Inspiration does not extend beyond the original message, though the texts we possess today have been translated with high accuracy. Scripture is useful for teaching, for reproof. That means rebuking those in sin, correction of those in error, and training in righteousness. Now, to carry that one verse further in 3:17, the purpose of the proper use of Scripture is that the man of God may be equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that is the scripture we want to be thinking about, we want to memorize, we want to have for today. Now I want to go a little bit further into our constitution, who we are as Altos Baptist Church. And we'll start with the purpose, our purpose. The purpose of Altos Baptist Church is to bring people to Jesus Christ as Savior, to membership in His church family, to develop them to Christ-like maturity, to equip them for ministry in His church and missions in all the world, in order to magnify the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Savior's great commission, recorded in Matthew 22:37-40, and the great mission recorded in Matthew 28:19-20, guiding us to this purpose. So that is who we are, what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? Now let's look at our statement of faith, Scripture. The Holy Bible is written by man divinely inspired and is God's revelation to of himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth, without any mixture of error for its matter. Therefore, all scripture is totally true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us. Therefore, is and will remain to the end of time of the world the truth center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creed, religion, religious opinions should be tried. All scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is himself the focus of divine revelation. And there are many scriptures that we could look at down through here. I pulled this out of our Constitution. So everybody should have a copy of the Constitution and should read it and go through each and every one of the scriptures so that you know and understand who we are. The next part I would like to go through is a little bit long, but it's our church covenant. It's something that each and every one of us has heard and has attested to and agreed to. So I want to read it. Having been led as we believe in the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and to the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We resolve, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, in holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of its ministry, the expenses of the church, and relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel throughout the nation. We resolve to uphold the biblical standards of marriage, maintaining family and personal devotions, and faithfully educate our children in Christian values, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to live with moral integrity in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our arrangements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, expressing anger, to abstain from the sale or use of intoxicating drugs or alcohol, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further resolve to watch over one another as brotherly, in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and Christian courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready to reconcile, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We therefore resolve that when we move from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. So that is who we are, the church purpose, the scripture, and then our church covenant. Now, with that, I want to move on, and Malachi is going to go through some other scriptures. We're going to have it on the screen, and it'll be a speaker. It's 1 Chronicles, chapters 12. 1 Corinthians, excuse me, 1 Corinthians, chapters 12 through 14.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. Chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Chapter 14. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, and exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren? When ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet, or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Chapter 15.
For those who may not know, whatever, when it mentioned charity, you can also replace that with love. And it is in other translations. So the scripture that we want to hang our hat on today is 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, notice as we read it again, as I find it again, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And then 17, so that the men of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Notice that the first word there is all. It's not, it doesn't say some. It doesn't say part. It doesn't say just what I understand. It doesn't say just what I want to hang my hat on. No, it's if, no ifs, ands, or buts. It's all. Capital A-L-L. All. Scripture. So just keep that in mind whenever you're reading, whenever, you know. I think if we... You know, this was written by Paul, and so was the scripture that was read to us in 1 Chronicles, Corinthians 12 through 14. But think about it. Paul wrote 13 if you don't think Hebrews, but 14 of the 27 chapters in the New Testament. So Paul must have been pretty close to the Lord. He probably was, you know, if because the Lord co-authored all 14 of those books with Paul, then I'd say they were pretty close, wouldn't you? Okay, throughout the years, This is just kind of an addition now, but I just want you to think about the times you've been in church and the times that, you know, throughout the years, we have had many pastors. Each one preached the Word of God given them for that particular week with specific scriptures and verses, with specific examples from their experiences. These messages may convict each one of us differently according to God's will for us that day and that time. That conviction is God personally telling you something. What is it? Could it be He wants you to research the Scriptures so that He can help us, you, understand the reason for the conviction? Now, during this time in the Scriptures and with the Lord, He exposes to you spiritual errors. Excuse me, let me back up a little bit. Now, during this time in the Scripture and with the Lord, if He exposes to you a scriptural error was made during the pastor's message, clarification, and clarifies it for you scripturally, why, while using Scripture, if you prefer then you can come to the pastor. If He's clarified with you, if the Lord has spoke to you and shown you in Scripture where something that the pastor has said is incorrect, then you should go to the pastor and speak to him about it. And if you can prove that it was scripturally incorrect, then he will come to the next meeting and will correct it. If you don't feel good about just going to the pastor, go to the pastor and the deacons to do that. Regarding the many different gifts, we are to use our gifts to humbly serve others, to draw others to a saving relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or to a more complete, deeper, and more fulfilling relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are. As Altars Baptists, as Christians, that's who we need to strive to be better in providing service to others. Each one of these gifts that we have, and each one of us have multiple gifts, are to be used to help others, to bring others to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's who we are. That's what we're all about. So that really is the essence of my message or my thoughts today. Remember the scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, Warren, would you just close us in prayer, please?